Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello. Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Oh, Mark, I am so excited. Please let everyone know who we're talking to today.
They're an actor and writer from the Babysitter's Club, The Big Show Show, and Night Court. It's Jessica Elena Eason.
Yay!
Yeah.
That would have been better if my voice wasn't so hurt.
You know,
I'm
husky.
So excited to be here. I'm husky. Like what's that woman's
Lauren
name?
Bacall.
Lauren Bacall. So like the other romance.
A sled dog.
Stone.
Yeah. Oh, Kathleen Turner, Kathleen Brenda Vaccaro.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh,
the greats.
Brenda Vaccaro. She played Mariska Hargitay. She used to play Mariska Hargitay's mother on SVU.
Really?
Huh. Hell yeah, my favorite show.
Did she ever get embroiled in like a case or like was she ever a witness?
She was
or anything?
Raped.
Oh, I didn't want to say.
Oh, no.
I assume.
You didn't want to say it about SVU. Spoiler alert. But yeah, she was raped. That's why Mariska feels so attached to her victims because her mother was raped. So she grew up in a house.
Oh, because she had a mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Dick Wolf doesn't play. Well, Dick Wolf, I love, unless it's like his Chicago.
How many of these Chicago shows do we do?
There's like eight of them.
There's like eight. And they're all pale comparisons to the trilogy that is Law and Order, SVU. And now I like the new Maloney, Criminal Intent. I'll give that. I think that was called. No, it's not.
My favorite, I liked Law and Order when it was Jerry Orbach and Benjamin Bratt. And Chris Noth. Chris Noth was good, too.
Well, before his rapings.
Sure.
And I like the other guy from Rent.
Well, it's Jerry Jesse Martin.
Oh, Jesse Martin. Yeah. Williams?
Jesse L. Martin.
Jesse L. Martin.
Look, I like anyone who was with Jerry Orbach, I guess.
Me too.
Sure. You like the Broadway people.
And I like when it was Dennis Farina.
Well, no? That was later, wasn't it?
Okay. Or
was
so Jerry Orbach left or died. I don't know. And Dennis Farina took over with Jesse L. Martin.
Oh, you want to know something?
Guys, go ahead.
I've never seen a single episode of any Law and Order.
John!
It's true.
They go down so easy.
I know. I remember I told that to a friend of mine. She was like, oh my God, when you retire, you're going to have so much content you can watch.
You are.
This is before we were overloaded with content regardless.
But let's not wait till then. This is the next. This is the new podcast.
It's me watching
every Law and Order episode.
I watch
There's like 400.
I've watched every single SVU. It's like Sex and the City. When they come on, I'm like, oh, this one. I've seen it that much.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But they do some like great like guest stars. Like there's some like, turns where like, oh, you can see like Michael J. Fox is like a straight up creep.
That's right.
Which is fun.
It is fun. It's the best one. And Mariska Hargitay is a living legend.
Which
icon.
One is this?
SVU.
That's the
special victims. That's the best
that's
one,
the
really.
Gold. Gold.
Well, Law and Order set the table. They made the Model T, but then like SVU was like, okay, we see what you've done.
Thank you.
But
Mark.
We're going to elevate.
We're keeping what we love and we're elevating.
We're elevating.
We're centering a woman.
That's right.
And Chris Maloney.
And hot
Hello.
Chris Maloney.
Oh, come
hot
on.
Chris Maloney and those slacks. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Now, and you guys, go ahead.
No, a lot of sexual tension. Go on. Mark.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, you guys have both lived in New York City, correct?
Absolutely. Yes.
That is true.
That's true.
Do you guys have any fun taxi stories? Was taxis a big part of your life, or was that like a treat?
It was a treat, yeah. But I lived in Queens the whole time, so it was one of those like, okay,
they don't have cabs in Queens.
No, they do, but
like if you were in Manhattan, which like most of my life was in Manhattan, it was like a taxi cab at night. It used to be like, all right, I have 20, I can do the taxi cab, and then it became like, I need 30 to be a decent person to tip them and all that stuff.
$30, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot, and also they don't always want to take you.
No,
to the outer boroughs. Once you get in, they're kind of like, oh no, I don't go. Like they lie.
Because it's harder to get someone to drive them back to Manhattan.
Well, that makes sense. They're there to make a buck.
Sure.
True,
I don't blame them.
Sure. Yeah.
And you guys never wore a seatbelt?
Never.
Probably not, no. I've had a few cab drivers like want to have sex with me, which I never did.
You didn't.
God, how, John?
I didn't. They would just be like, so do you live alone? Da, 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 here, you know, like grab my hand through the little window.
Grab your hand. What is your hand doing up there by the window?
Thank you, Mark.
I'm working on my puppetry. I'm in the back of a cab. It's a 20-minute ride. I've got to do something.
Puppetry of the penis?
Well, maybe. It was late at night.
God. Were you ever interested?
Not really. Not particularly. I've never had like a bad cab experience though. I never like felt unsafe. I'm also like a dude who's like 6'2", so I never felt like, oh, this is, I don't know what's, or unsafe.
I much like John Flynn, I'm a 5'2", and I never felt unsafe either though, which maybe it was dumb. I just didn't. I jump in and be like, let's go. But no one ever tried to touch my hand or ask me if I lived alone. So
wow, yeah, John, humble brag bunch.
Humble brag. Okay. He was hot.
Sure. I was, you know, it was my chorus boy days. I was young. I had that youthful vitality. They could tell I was flexible and limber.
He could afford a cab.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I only remember, I think I've only been in a New York City cab once in my life.
Okay.
Wow.
And I didn't like that there was like a TV on in the background. It was like some screen blaring.
Oh, yeah. You got used to really quick hitting the off button.
But then I didn't want to touch anything. That's New York City for you. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, yeah. I feel like
you gotta learn to.
You get over that real fast, or you just always have a handkerchief with you or something.
Yes.
A handkerchief.
You know, something.
Like up my sleeve.
For your back,
like
something for your
dandy.
Back pocket, you know, to let people know what's going on.
Sure.
Oh, yes. I watched that. What was that? Well, what was that Ryan Murphy show I just watched?
American Horror Story?
Yes, with Jeff Hiller.
With Jeff Hiller.
That's correct.
Playing the killer.
Yes.
Did that get boring once they killed him off, though, right?
I mean, yes.
I said it to Jeff.
weren't you also? I mean, listen,
say it.
I will. I love Ryan Murphy. But I'll tell you right now, I love all of his miniseries.
Sure,
and I find the American Horror to be, I don't know what's happening. Like, I don't
They're crazy.
Yes. I don't know the same person. The man that makes Gianni Versace and Feud and.
I think he's much better off when he's sort of tethered to reality.
There's
like, he can't go too nuts. I think that makes a big difference.
Like, absolutely brilliant. And then all of a sudden, I'm watching American Crime Story. And also, what's his name? Joe Mantello is an amazing actor. Right?
Yeah, he's great.
But then it's all of a sudden, I'm like, so is the guy in the leather? Okay, so he is AIDS, right? He's playing AIDS. But then there really is AIDS. It's like, you can't have someone playing.
I thought it was a bit of a hat on hat.
Me too.
But that's a Ryan Murphy show. It's a hat on hat on hat to infinity.
Yeah, yeah.
Also,
so it creates a black hole that sucks up everything.
Were you not confused when the wife of the cop got her neck slashed in the bathroom? So I think she's murdered. But then it turns out she's murdered by AIDS. But
she was murdered by the physical manifestation of AIDS. What's so hard to get your head around that?
Thank you. Well,
I feel like they Ryan Murphy writes the first episode, like, here's five storylines, five things that would be fun to explore. Yeah. You guys figure it out. And then these poor writers have to figure it out. And like, I don't know what it's like, an exquisite corpse kind of exercise. But they get like some amazing, every like time I've watched American Horror, like, they're always crazy, but there's always like one or two like scenes in there. They're like really good.
Oh, yeah,
like,
really fun.
Oh, that's such like a great like needle drop or something, you know, or like there's like, definitely. Like real sexy or something.
Well, it was that show. I mean, other than the AIDS, was very sexy. I mean, he hired a bunch of hotties who were having a lot of sex, and they're all super hot. So it wasn't like, a bunch of fuggos.
No, you got, there are no uggos in a Ryan Murphy production.
No, he does not hire uggos.
No, not
would
at
that
all.
Be so terrible, though, if we saw uggos on our TV?
No, I would love it. No. I would love more character, like real based looking people.
Me yeah, too. I might get an audition.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean,
but anyway, speaking of auditions, Jess, you're here for our we're kicking off
and as yes, as our lead up to the Academy Awards,
that's our annual series of best supporting actress nominated films.
Yes.
And today we're talking about Taxi Driver. John, what's the deal with Taxi Driver?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Taxi Driver. It was directed by Martin Scorsese, written by Paul Schrader. Set in a decaying and morally bankrupt New York City following the Vietnam War, the film follows Travis Bickle, a veteran working as a taxi driver, and his deteriorating mental state as he works nights in the city. It stars Robert De Niro, Jodie Foster, Cybill Shepherd, Harvey Keitel, Peter Boyle, Leonard Harris, and Albert Brooks. It was released on February 9th, 1976, and made $28.6 million off a budget of $1.9 million. Roger Ebert instantly praised it as one of the greatest films he had ever seen, writing, "Taxi Driver is a hell, from the opening shot of a cab emerging from Stygian clouds of steam to the climactic killing scene in which the camera finally looks straight down. Scorsese wanted to look away from Travis's rejection. We almost want to look away from his life, but he's there, all right, and he's suffering." Pauline Kael wrote, "No other film has ever dramatized urban indifference so powerfully. At first here, it's horrifyingly funny, and then just horrifying." It was nominated for 4 Academy Awards, Best Picture, Best Actor for De Niro, Best Original Score for Bernard Herrmann, and Best Supporting Actress for Jodie Foster. And in late January 2005, a sequel was announced by De Niro and Scorsese. But in November 2013, they revealed that Schrader had done the first draft, but both he and Scorsese thought it was not good enough to continue. And that is the deal with Taxi Driver.
Ooh, shame.
So, Jess, we asked you to pick a... movie, and you chose Taxi Driver. Why Taxi Driver?
Well, yeah, I was gonna. Why? I love this movie, and I first saw this movie when I was, I think, a sophomore in high school.
Sure.
I grew up in Massachusetts, all alone. Oh, not all alone.
All alone, like a nail situation.
You think that would be your favorite Jodie Foster movie? Yeah, but no, it's Taxi Driver.
Tay and LaWay. It was not. But this is the first movie I have to say that I saw that I didn't understand, and I loved it. Like I was I remember the camera moving in. I never noticed the camera before in a movie. I never noticed the way it was filmed. And immediately I was like, oh, I love the way when he moves his hand in that first scene, it goes over the desk. I remember him in the taxi stand in the beginning. He puts the Alka-Seltzer in the cup and it's, you know, you hear it takes over the sound. It was just the first time I was like, oh, this is like a film. Like I have to think about this.
Yeah.
And I mean, listen, it's changed. I watched it just 2 nights ago. I mean, and when I was watching it, I was like, I know this film so well. I could like, I said the words with it. I mean, I did a project on it.
Like a Rocky Horror kind of thing. You're
And I used to fall asleep when I went to college. I had that Bernard Herrmann score and I would play it.
To fall asleep to that score?
It's pretty jazzy at times. It's real smooth.
Very jazzy.
You love a jazz man.
Smooth, but okay.
You love a jazz man.
You love a jazz man.
Who knew that? It was like, there you go. There
this
you
all
go.
Makes sense.
It all makes sense now. But and my roommates were like, what are you listening to? And I was like, it's Taxi Driver. I went to a musical theater college, and on the wall I had a Raging Bull poster. I fell asleep to Taxi Driver, so I fit in.
Yeah,
I was at the right place. But I was obsessed with Scorsese. I mean, it was what kicked it off. So, but when I was young, I think what I really connected to was because I grew up. I'm adopted. I love being adopted. So shade on that. But like, I was the only kind of person of color where I grew up, and I always felt like an outsider. And so I think not knowing this is not at that age, I didn't know it. But I think what I liked about it was he was an outsider. I was an outsider. He was angry. I think I had a lot of anger, but I would never say that then. So I think I connected all these things. Now as an adult watching, I'm like, oh, this man is a super racist incel. messed up, like classic white supremacy, like for like the people that are like, I'm owed this. It's like, no, you're not owed anything. So it's like that way. It's like now I enjoy it for the artistry of what he has made, and I don't identify with Travis Bickle anymore.
I don't think you're even. I don't think you're meant to. I don't think Scorsese is saying be like Travis Bickle.
That's not why he did it. But I'm just saying when I first watched, I think that's what drew me to it.
Sure.
And I think, because, I was like, I think being so young watching it, the Jodie Foster, Harvey Keitel stuff, which we'll get to, he plays her pimp.
Right.
It didn't seem so weird, but now as an adult, like, she's a baby. Like,
right, she's 12,
If she's 12, it feels gross, but when you're closer to the younger person, and you're like, okay.
Right, and you're probably like, I could hang with an adult. Like, I could
handle
that.
Yeah,
and I, you know, I was an actor, and I was like, I could do that. I could do, but I also identified, I think, before I found female people I love, like Deborah Winger, or like Kate Blanchett.
Sure.
I mean, quickly, let's plug Tar.
We love Tar.
I love it so much. Speaking of Tar, I'm like, can I have all her wardrobe?
Very chic.
I love it. Now, listen, am I tall enough or thin enough? Now, that wardrobe is rough. Like, you've got to be really thin and tall.
It's also, like, literally, like, made for her body.
Yes.
Yeah, you can only wear burlap sacks, I think, Jess, is all the thing.
It's all that really fit in your body.
That's all I can fit my bottom pair half into. It's so sad.
So actresses.
But that being said, so I really want to be like De Niro. Like, I loved his range and this and also I was attracted to him.
Of course.
I
mean,
he's sexy. His teeth are not good. As an adult, his teeth are bad, but his body is rocking.
I think he's a little scary skinny in this.
Oh, I love it. I love when he's over the heat and his all like the that? Muscles. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
He looks like he has poor nutrition.
He's got like a yoga body. He's so lean. Yeah. He doesn't, because he's not like, it's not like he's like that skinny that's sort of like
Timothy
gaunt
Chalamet,
and gross. It's just,
like a Chalamet, but he's like a young tween.
Yeah.
Talented though. Beautiful, beautiful.
Sure,
beautiful.
Sure. Very is talented. He the next De Niro? I don't know.
No.
I don't know. Christian Bale? I don't know. There's no intensity. I don't know.
He's very pretty. He's just a pretty, pretty person.
He's got a nice jawline.
Yes.
What about you, John? What did you think? Your first time seeing Taxi Driver?
No, I saw Taxi Driver in college for the first time. And it's not a movie that I return to a lot. I've probably seen it two or three other times, rewatching it again. Yeah, I mean, it made me nostalgic for that 70s gross New York. I mean, De Niro's great. And it's also funny, just go back and see one of his early performances. Like, when you think of De Niro now, it's like, oh yeah, he's a different person. He doesn't look like that anymore. And just be like, oh, look at how like young he is, and sort of like vital and just has that youthful energy that, you know, age takes from all of us. But yeah, I found it a fascinating movie, and I was sort of wondering why it didn't bother, like the toxicity of it didn't bother me in a way that a lot of like more contemporary movies, when there's a character like him, it feels like it's weirdly romanticizing or something like that, which I don't feel from this movie. I don't know what it is. I can't figure out what it is, but for whatever reason, I find this more, maybe it's just because I know, it's Taxi Driver, but I just found it so interesting and compelling. And I don't know how he walks the tightrope of showing this very unflinchingly and not romanticizing it, or not making it seem like, you know, Travis Bickle is some sort of anti-hero that we should be rooting for or try to understand.
Yeah.
But I think it just does a great job, and it just feels so real and lived in. I think part of it just has to do with the casting and all that stuff. So I thought, and it was also just funny to be like, oh my God, this is like a young Harvey Keitel, a young Albert Brooks and Peter Boyle. Like, it's just sort of crazy, just like the bench of people that's in this.
What about Cybill Shepherd?
Cybill Shepherd, of course, before Moonlighting.
Yeah.
How about you, Mark?
I love it. What's not to love about Taxi Driver? I've seen it a bunch of times. You know, I went to film school, so I'm familiar with Taxi Driver.
Many late night conversations about Taxi Driver over coffee.
Camera. But it was funny watching it, like, because I hadn't seen it since I saw Joker, which is just a cover version,
basically,
of Taxi Driver. But like, that one does feel like it's saying, like, isn't he been wronged? Don't you kind of get where he's coming from? But I feel like Scorsese never lets Travis off the hook of, like, saying, like, no, this is his own. He's a fucking weirdo, entitled asshole. You know, I think Scorsese, he just presents it unflinchingly. And also the whole world itself is so grimy and just like, ugh. It's such an amazing, it's also like, it flies by.
It goes real quick.
It's like an hour and 50 minutes.
It does fly by. And you know who else is also great in it? Is Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, very disturbing.
He's so disturbing. And he's so great in that part. I think part of that is I didn't see The Joker because I was like, oh, this is just Taxi. Like, this is,
it is just,
it's more the King of Comedy than Taxi Driver, but it is a little Taxi.
It's like a mashup of the two. It's like a mashup of the two.
Yeah, but it's both weak sauce. And it's like, I don't want to watch Joaquin Phoenix do his impression of De Niro. No, thank you.
With clown makeup on now.
Yeah, no, thank you. No, thank you. Yeah, he's like Heath Ledger meets, like, it's just like,
stop it.
We should say, though, Jodie Foster was nominated alongside Jane Alexander from All the President's Men, Lee Grant from Voyage of the Damned, Piper Laurie from Carrie, but they all lost to Beatrice Straight from Network. Now, do we think that?
Oh, that one, like, five-minute scene.
That's a tough year.
That's a year.
That's a tough year. Network is so good.
It's pretty good.
Network's pretty good. But, I mean, I think I would have given it over. I'm trying to think. Who just, I think the only one that comes close, I mean, Jodie Foster is fantastic in Taxi Driver, but I think that woman from Network or what's her name? Piper Laurie. From Carrie.
Piper Laurie really has like, she's got like some monologues in that.
Yeah. And
like, do we really need to give Oscars to children? Imagine like you're a 60-year-old woman. Like, I just lost to a 14-year-old. Like, they have 50 more years in this business. My clock is ticking. They're not exactly beating down the door for
Like the director emotionally manipulated them, you know, on set probably is what happened.
Well, that's every director. And you'd show me a director who has an emotional manipulation.
But I mean, like, you really sometimes with a kid, you know.
And there were no labor laws back then.
No.
But she is great. You got to give her that.
Absolutely.
Oh, no Jody? One's taking medal. You got to give it to Jodie.
Oh, yeah. No,
no one's taking anything for Jodie Foster.
No.
I just don't think we should nominate children for Oscars. They shouldn't be nominated for Razzies, and we shouldn't be nominating children for Oscars. They don't need that. Just tell them you did a good job. Buy them a dinner or a PlayStation or something.
Buy them a dinner.
It'll be fine. We're taking you to Chuck E. Cheese. You did a good job in that movie.
Congrats.
I mean, yeah. I mean, right. Jodie Foster didn't need it. She obviously went on to do two more Oscars.
She got two
later
more
in her life.
So far.
She went on to make The Beaver with Mel Gibson. She's doing fine.
She's doing great.
You know, I've always wanted to watch Little Man Tate, but I never have.
No, and I haven't either.
What's stopping you?
It's no interest, I guess.
I guess. But you just said you've always wanted to.
But I guess ultimately,
I guess
I don't want to. It's no Contact. I'll watch Contact any day of the week.
I've never seen
Contact any day. Contact, even on a Tuesday?
Jess, you got to watch Contact.
No, I like, I mean, I love her.
Silence of the Lambs.
That's of course. That's,
Flight Plan?
I've never seen Flight Plan.
Panic Room?
Yes.
Okay. Did I just shout Jodie Foster movies at you?
I'll tell you, I have a hot take on her, though. I love everything she's in. There's only one movie I've seen so far of hers that I'm like, oh, you were miscast. What is that Spike Lee movie where she plays like kind of a
Inside Man?
Yep.
Okay,
that's a fun
one.
Movie though.
It's a great movie, and Clive Owen is another one that can do no wrong. I love him. I love him. Mm-hmm. But I was like, that part is really sexy. Not that it's not about Jodie Foster not being attractive, but she's almost too smart. You always can tell how smart she is. That's part of what I like about her. And that woman with a little flick, I don't know, it felt like she was trying, and I never feel like Jodie Foster's trying. It just didn't feel like it fit her right.
Wasn't a natural fit.
Yeah,
but you know what is a natural fit. The fact that we're looking for the gayest movies ever, so we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories, and at one point, you are going to come up with a category, and it will be added to the wheel. Don't worry about that. What does that mean?
You'll figure it out.
Yeah. Relax. But this is our current top five gayest movies ever. In fifth place with a 90.37%, Madonna, Truth or Dare. In fourth place with a 92.20%, Showgirls. In third place with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. In second place with a 93.21%, Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And number one, still reigning champ with a 94.83%, is Female Trouble.
Okay, Jess, so if you had to guess now... Oh, female, it's John Waters. You got to watch that one.
Oh, wait. Before we go onto the wheel, I have to tell you a quick... Can I say a quick anecdote?
Of course.
Of course.
Truth or Dare, Madonna's throat doctor in that movie was also my throat doctor.
Excuse me. How long have I...
And my throat doctor, who's this man? I forget his name. I shouldn't. I am famous in this man's memory, and I probably rank second to Madonna. And this man has seen everybody. If you go into his office, it's like Bruce Springsteen, you know.
Mariah Carey, the golden throats of show business.
He is also the one that people are saying might have maimed Julie Andrews' voice.
Oh, no.
Blood on his hands. Okay, so anyways, I go there, right?
All right.
And my friend, a Broadway diva, tells me too late, don't let him put the little thing down your throat.
The camera?
Yes, but I didn't hear it in time on the, because this is back in the day with like voicemails. Sure. Anyways, I didn't hear it. And it was like $800. So he says to me, Jessica, you can't talk. You have to be like silent for a week. I mean, if you both know
impossible.
Me.
Yeah. It's insane.
So I'm like writing things down. I go back. He's like, your throat's still a mess. I'm going to give you a steroid. Now, let's cut to you, gentlemen. This was a part of, I was a young woman in New York.
Of course.
Wanting to live a sexy 20s life. And I decided, mm-hmm. what would I do? Like Sex and the City, I'm not going to wear underwear because that's really sexy in dirty New York.
Specifically to Wait, see the to throat see doctor, doctor or
no,
general?
Just in life.
Oh, okay.
Just in life. Not
like
in,
that's
not,
your thing.
Not in
Don't need it. Don't need an extra layer. Right.
I don't. I am living on the edge. Okay?
I want that trash stench really You're... floating up my caboose.
That's right. That's right. Because I'm at any moment, something could happen. I sure. want to be on the edge. So, cut to me at this doctor, second thing. He says he has to give me a steroid shot. It has to go in like the top of my butt. Now I'm wearing a skirt to this doctor's. No underwear. Okay. He goes around his little swizzle chair.
Sure.
So we are at the same level as my butt at this point, right? Now you would think, oh, Jessica should just pull the top of her skirt down.
No, right? No. You pull the bottom up.
I lifted the whole thing up. Bench in half. He turned his chair around and screamed.
Screamed.
Screamed. Jumped up, told me, pull it down, pull it down. He got very upset. And I was so, because I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to sing again or talk again. I didn't even care. I didn't care. He gives me the shot. I go and tell my mother. My mother's first thing was like, I can't believe you're not wearing underwear. I didn't raise you like that. She was scandalized. Now, I realized later, like, oh, he was face to face with everything and like
sure everything yeah. everywhere all at once sure
that's the original everything cut to 2 years later I go to this Broadway ladies show at like Feinstein's. I see the doctor. I'm like, oh, he might remember me. I go up to say hi to him. He literally yells to his wife, this is Jessica, tell me about this, is told everyone about. She starts laughing. She's like, oh my God, you're our favorite story. We tell everyone.
So, wow.
Amazing.
And he met Madonna. Wow. And
he's met Madonna.
And so there you go.
He tells that story about you more than Madonna.
The time you sexually wow. harassed your throat doctor.
That's right.
That's I love that he, as a doctor, was just so terrified by the naked body.
Well, he's a throat doctor.
I guess he so. Works with the top tubes, not the That's bottom true. Tubes. Top the tubes only, up. Lady. He probably had to add a sign to his office. Top yeah. tubes only. Mm-hmm.
You must wear underwear to be.
Yeah. You wouldn't think you would need that sign, but then there's patients like you.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Challenge the norms.
That's. I am surprised that you didn't wear underwear and you wore a skirt. I was once in an improv class where the teacher had to tell one of the students, if you're going to wear a skirt, you have to wear underwear. She got on the floor and rolled around a lot, that girl.
Ooh.
Wow.
I did get stuck in one scene at the old UCB where the on 22nd Street because the
oh
the
yeah. seat
had no underwear in a skirt, sat down and realized there's no way for me to get up this ground without flashing the whole front row. So somebody in the back line like hoisted
came and picked
me.
You up.
Yeah.
Now that's a teammate.
That's a teammate.
Yeah.
And that's comedy, folks.
And that's comedy.
Back when New York was raw, like that's a taxi right. driver.
Right. Taxi. Okay. So I'm sorry. So
what do you, so now, okay. how well do you think Taxi Driver is going to do?
Oh, not
okay,
well.
Do you think it is?
I think Taxi Driver is a hard, it's so straight male anger. Yeah. It is so male toxicity at like, it's like.
Purest
but like
form, yeah.
white supremacy, straight man, all that anger, all that like no one maybe women like, have to, you know. Ooh.
Speaking to the thing like John was talking about, like how it walks that tightrope. I think like Travis Bickle is angry, but the movie itself doesn't come off angry. You know what I mean? Like it
no,
doesn't
no.
the movie.
You're right. It's like kind of. I think I like what you said about it walks that line. I think what it does different than other movies that don't. The reason he's not romanticized, I think, a lot is because they do show him as a horrible racist. A horrible yeah. misogynist. Mm-hmm.
They toned all that down.
Humor.
And they toned all that down because Paul Schrader's script was like, maybe Paul Schrader is a racist.
Yeah.
you know, like Scorsese was like, we can't the last season,
everyone he shoots can't all be black people.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So make Harvey Keitel white. Which is much better. Him, obviously, him shooting a bunch of white people. I mean, it's like, yes, please. They also make him, they also make him completely racist. I mean, there's nothing about him that's not. But I was telling my husband, I was like, I like that they do that, not the racism part, but that like they show these people, they're not apologizing. Not, they should, but it's like, it's kind of, I think sometimes with movies these days, right? It's like, well, they're racist because of like we give them some kind of out.
Yeah, like a three billboards kind of thing.
Or like he was attacked or whatever. It's like, no, this guy was just raised
but
in
he's
white
a good
America
dad.
As a white man. Yeah. As a white man, and he will be amongst people and at the same time hate them and say horrible. Like he is exactly what is the worst is horrible. I mean, that's why I'm flinching, is what you're saying. But anyway, two, it's being, I mean, Jodie might be our strongholds.
I think Jodie will be doing all the heavy lifting here.
Yeah.
And some of that porn, but like even the porn isn't good. Like that weird porn where like the sperm and like is in the eggs. I'm like, who
it was a
this?
Scientific. It's like a loophole, but like it's a documentary. So we'll throw in some facts.
Yeah.
Some stock footage of sperm, which I always have lying around. Well, let's get
sperm
into
or stock
it.
Footage.
Whatever you need.
Wait, what are the bottom five movies, Mark? I think we should.
Oh, yeah, we're the bottom five.
You think it's going to be that bad with Jodie on the picture? I don't know if it's going to be that bad.
Jodie can only carry so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Bottom five.
Yeah.
In 183rd place with seven. This is the very lowest, least gay movie with a 7.90% is Double Holiday, a terrible Hallmark movie. And then above that with a the fourth least gay is, I don't know how to say it, the 9.47% Boat Trip. Tied at 16.10% are When Harry Met Sally and Good Will Hunting. And then the fifth least gay movie with a 16.12% is Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be
so might end up in that category. Yeah.
It'll be somewhere in between the top and the bottom.
Wow, that's a very bold prediction you just made.
That's what I predict. That's what I predict. I think it might get around 30%, maybe.
All right.
Based on nothing.
Okay.
Well, let's get into it. So the first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we'll each be given a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So, Jess, what would you rate Taxi Driver on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
Oh.
The only person I thought who might be gay is the guy who has a piece of Errol Flynn's bathtub.
Yeah, he could be.
I was like, who, Hollywood memorabilia?
Yeah.
And why the bathtub?
Yes.
I mean, you take what you can get, John.
That's
tricky.
Errol Flynn, come on.
Yes. Yeah. And he was very excited about there being more than one person, right? This watermark and that watermark. And
But that was the only thing.
Yeah, it was the only thing.
They mention gay people in passing.
They do.
Yes.
And not even in like terrible terms, even. You know what I mean? Like for the time, for 1976, though, New York
Cabbie, it was the
like,
words of the time. Yeah.
I was expecting a lot. I was like, I was bracing myself. But I was like, oh, that wasn't so bad. They didn't say like they deserve to be shot or anything. So kudos. Where's their GLAAD award?
Yeah. Where's their float in the Pride Parade?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's the low is nothing, right?
Zero to 100. Yeah.
A five. It's low.
I think there's got to be someone in that office with Cybill Shepherd and Albert Brooks.
Oh.
I think we got the bathtub guy. There's some of those night workers. I'm sure some of them are whatever.
Night
so
workers?
I'm going to go, you know, I'll give it a
night workers.
I'll give it 11.
Workers?
I'll go 11. Sex
11
workers, yes.
Based on people in the background who are never identified.
Exactly.
I'll give it a 4. An average of 6.67, which is 44 points lower than Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. So that might be a good competition. All right, the next one. I think you'll make up some points here. Gay icons. How do we do on a gay icons?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
we got Jodie Foster.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah.
Cybill Shepherd.
Cybill Shepherd, somewhat. Sure, why not?
It was also produced by Julia Phillips, who wrote You'll Never Eat Lunch in This Town Again, which I read just a few years ago. I think that was the first summer of the pandemic I read that.
Oh, nice.
The title felt, you know, topical.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Like I never would have lunch.
Very different reason.
That book, though, it's like 550 pages. And like the whole time she has like this insane cocaine addiction.
Ooh.
And it is really like being in the head of a cocaine addict, like the prose and how it's written. So it is really like after a while, you're like, I need to take a break from this. This is like intense, but it's really fun.
Sober up.
It's really good.
You're
really rooting for her.
Just cocaine.
I'm not going to do cocaine. Just, I've never done cocaine.
Oh, it's, do it tonight.
Tonight?
Where's he going to have it?
Where am I going to get cocaine? I only got stock footage and sperm.
You can get some.
You can get some.
All right. So what do we think for gay icon? Any other? Well, Scorsese, not a gay icon.
No, but they did thank Julia Cameron, and she of The Artist's Way. And I feel like every gay creative person I know has done The Artist's Way.
I haven't.
Well, I know what to get you for your, we're getting you some cocaine and The Artist's Way. And here we go.
What's the deal with The Artist's Way? Like, just keep working.
No, I mean, she has the things that are the biggest is the morning pages. It's like, you just, the first thing every morning, you just write 3 pages. Yeah, you wouldn't like it.
3 pages?
Yeah, 3 handwritten pages every morning.
No.
That's why you need the cocaine.
Yeah.
I have my coffee. I've been loving, the last month or so, I've been setting my coffee maker to go off at 8:30 in the morning.
So you wake up to a fresh pot?
Yeah, so it's just there. And like the smell, it's hard to lay in bed once you smell coffee. There's something that's like Pavlovian response. Like, well, there's hot coffee. And it's right there.
Get up.
Gotta get that hot coffee before someone else gets it.
Are we sure it's the same Julia Cameron?
Yes. She and Martin Scorsese dated. They were like,
oh, have you done The Artist's Way?
No.
Me? Yeah, John.
Years ago, yeah.
Oh. Well, and you loved it?
Yeah, I mean, it was very helpful. It's something that I don't still do, but it was something that was very sort of useful. I mean, it's like it was sort of like the big first self-help book I ever sort of like read or did.
Mm-hmm. Mine was the Bible. So you don't really need much more after that.
No.
So what do we think for gay icons? 0 to 100, Jess.
Oh, I'm going to go. I mean, I'm gonna go 85.
Sure,
because I think Jodie Foster on her own is a person should be a 90. I'm gonna go 90. Exactly.
Jodie Foster have like a lesbian performance? Like that she's like
does she have one that isn't a lesbian performance?
But you know what I mean? Like
Clarice, I feel like.
But what do you mean?
Like, sure, but she never like really. You know what I mean? Like where she is like
an actual lesbian.
Yeah.
Where she is a tar.
Yes.
Yeah. Where's her tar?
Yeah. Where's her tar?
Jody's screaming at her agents. Give me my tar.
Exactly. She should be. She should be pissed.
She might have. I don't know.
I don't think so. I feel like, wasn't she in some movie? Was that with her? Was that Christy McNichol? Remember Christy McNichol?
Little Foxes.
Were they lovers in that movie?
I don't think so. I think there was just like, because it's like summer camp, so there's erotic energy.
Sure. Right. So it's there.
But I don't think she's ever. That's interesting. I don't know of her being in a movie where she plays a lesbian.
She might have now. Did she ever show up on an episode of The L Word or anything?
No, they can't afford her.
No, yeah, she's
she could
really
do a favor
for The L Word.
Come on,
sure.
She did her favor. Bugsy Malone was her favor. She's done with favors.
Speaking of
Bugsy Malone, that's my husband's first big crush.
And Jodie Foster.
Yeah, he loves a lesbian.
Or Scott Baio.
His favorite Sex in the City was Miranda.
Huh.
Yeah.
I knew I had a shot with him.
You did. You should have grown your hair out.
What do you think, John? What do you want to give for gay icon?
Yeah, I'll go 87.
Ooh. 87. I'll go 85. Just was right the first time. Giving it an 87.33, which is 21 points higher than Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. You destroyed the Enterprise. You're a veritable Khan. All right, the next one. This one might be tough. The queer gaze. By this, how much can you tell that, this is a queer person behind the camera creating queer imagery for a queer audience?
Zero.
This is the straight gaze, like just the.
But I mean, like De Niro does look sexy.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't. Do you think that's the intent, though? Is that he looks sexy?
No, but it's not the intent.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have made him look worse. He looks
definitely.
Hot. I mean, Mark, I know you don't think he looks hot, but I think
he just looks scary gaunt to me. He just looks like scary, like heroin addict to me.
He doesn't seem gaunt to me. Like he just seems like lean, like just like lean muscle to me.
Yes,
I guess I'm not into that lean.
I'm not saying you need to be into it, but I just don't think it's gaunt. Like gaunt to me feels like. Oh, there's no muscle there.
So
it's
you have
just
more
like wasted
with my
away.
Choice of word than anything.
Yes. Sure. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, he's not like I'm trying to think of a movie. Like, isn't Christian Bale really thin in some movie?
The Machinist.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not like that.
Nobody's watching that.
No.
No.
If anything, this movie literally puts you in the head of Travis Bickle, like zeroing in on Sybil Shepherd every chance it gets.
Right.
Yes, and she looks beautiful.
She
and they
beautiful.
Shoot her beautifully. And I mean, she's just like, she's a model. Like every shot is her being gorgeous.
Yeah.
She can't help it.
She can't help it.
The what girl can't help it.
No. So I mean, I guess De Niro's the hottest we're going to get.
Yeah. But it's young De Niro.
Albert Brooks.
I love Albert Brooks. I don't know if he's hot.
He's cute.
He's cute. He is cute. So funny in that movie. Goddamn.
Yeah.
We, in this house, thank in this God. House I live in, we constantly do the joke all the time, that one of like, we are the people. We are the people.
The people.
Let's not fight. I love, let's not fight. I don't know if that's a queer
lens. Queer gazy? No.
I don't think so.
I don't know if Albert Brooks is a real icon. You tell me.
Defending Your Life is fun.
Okay.
Love to.
You're watching that every time you go to Fire Island?
No, I would. If it was on the TV, I'd watch it.
Sure.
Who's not going to get sucked into Defending Your Life? Well, what do you want to give this taxi driver for the queer gaze?
20.
20. Very generous.
I'll give it a 6.
6. Yeah, I'll go 5. Give an average of 10.33, which is 40 points lower than Wrath of Khan. All right. The next category, the Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety do you think this movie would give Mike Pence?
I mean, I think a lot.
Just New York in the 70s alone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the prostitution.
Yeah, the prostitution.
A garbage strike is happening.
<Mm-mm>.
Unionized labor. He doesn't like right. that.
No, someone running for office is perhaps going to be his life is at risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the person saying we are the people, we're taking the power. He doesn't like that.
No, he doesn't like that.
No, no women are being called mother.
No, I don't think he's. I assume he's not a huge fan of child prostitution.
Well, he might be. Well, we don't know.
I think he likes big mommies. I don't think he likes kids.
Oh, you're probably.
I think you're probably right.
I think you're right.
I'd be very generous by saying Mike Pence is probably not a pedophile. Yeah, I don't think he's going to. And then it ends in an orgy of violence.
So what do we say, Mike Pence? Is he afraid
the
of
the anxiety scale? How
anxiety
anxious
scale.
Does, how much anxiety does this movie give him? How uncomfortable would he be if he had to watch it?
Oh, 80.
I'll go 84.
84. I'll go 85. Give an average of 83.
Okay.
Have you guys ever been in New York during a garbage strike?
No.
I don't think so.
Oh, they pretty much worked it out?
Pretty much.
That's nice.
Pretty much. I mean, I've been in New York where people are striking and the big rats on the side.
Oh, yeah. Those rats. Those are fun when those come out.
Yeah, the rats.
Rats?
There's this big inflatable rat. It's like a huge, like 8 foot tall rat outside of like a building. If they're like,
yes,
not using, that hotel is hiring non-union people or whatnot, stuff like that. That happens a lot.
I guess that's easier than like an inflatable scab. Like that might not read.
It's tough.
You know? You know? What is
might
that?
Not read.
A fruit roll up? I can't tell what that is.
Is, that is this pornographic? Roll-up?
Yeah. What is this happening? We're confused by your protest. All right. Our next category, Hell on Heels. How are we doing on Feisty Ladies?
Oh,
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster and Sybil.
Sybil.
She has her moments. She storms out of an adult movie theater.
Yeah, she's not standing
she
for
says,
that.
Then she's like, right, don't walk me home, don't call me.
There's also,
right?
I did like the woman, the surly woman who worked at the box office at the movie theater.
That,
she was fun. Yeah.
That's De Niro's first wife.
I've heard.
Wow.
Diane
a real
Abbott.
Nice. Cute.
They were already married.
Wow.
Wow.
She's a beautiful woman. She's also gorgeous. In New York, New York. She plays the woman that sings at the nightclub. Gorgeous woman.
Does she have a
watch
number?
Every Scorsese movie?
Is she in all of them?
No, do you watch all of them? Are you like
I watched
your favorite
most
director?
Of them. I was obsessed with him in high school. Like, I storyboarded Raging Bull my senior year in high school. My parents were like, stop watching this movie. They were very confused. They hated the language. I was like, Dad, watch it with me. My father fell asleep in, I think, 5 minutes in the movie. And he was like, it's in black and white asleep.
That's all I needed.
I can't
that's
be engaged.
Yeah. And they also, my parents were very happy that I liked musical theater. Like, my parents were like, we love Les Mis and we love this.
Yeah.
And, like, and all of a sudden, I'm watching this male
violence,
violence, sex in this way, and like everything is angry when screaming the F-bomb. And my parents were like, what happened to you? What's going wrong?
They're like, New York, New York, that's the best of both, right?
Yeah,
yeah, maybe show them Kundun, that one about the
sure.
Maybe they'll like that one,
yeah, Color of Money,
yeah, that's a fun one,
yeah.
Hugo?
I mean, Goodfellas is my, I mean, I think Goodfellas is top three, if best movies of all time.
Sure.
I will never turn
reasonable
that movie
choice.
That movie could
that's
be
one,
on no. any part of it, and I will watch it.
You're like, and here's what I'm doing for the next.
Yeah. I think it's brilliant. I love.
Same with Casino. I feel like Casino is underrated. And someone, I get sucked into Casino. Like the more times I watch it, the more I like it. Like you get sucked. If it's like on a TV, like on TNT or FX or something,
yes.
You get sucked into it.
You want to see the TNT cut of Casino?
It doesn't matter. It's still great. You know what I mean?
It is great.
I can read during the commercials. I'll live.
You will. And you know what else I will say about the thing about Casino that sucks you and I think a lot is the music, which of course Scorsese is known for. It has all that Stones music, he loves, but it works. And the way that movie is shot is
it's just like
it's beautiful. The trailer for that. This is another little thing I'll tell you about myself. The trailer for that movie, I think, deserves every award you could give a trailer. That is like the best shot trailer. Might be better than the movie. It is
really?
Shot. Go watch it. It has that shot of Joe Pesci that comes like this, and they go, and it all went bad. Like the Stones kick in, and it's just like, and then it's like, you know, and then Sharon Stone at her
Sharon Stone.
And most gorgeous. Like, it's so
good.
You a
Wolf of Wall Street fan?
I do. I like Wolf of Wall Street. I liked it a lot.
That one's really funny.
Really funny. Leo is great.
Yeah.
The Aviator. I'll watch The Aviator.
Aviator's great.
Cate Blanchett. There's my Tar again.
There you go. Back up again.
Can we just call her Tar from now on?
There
I think
goes
it's
going to
happen.
Okay.
What hell on heels? How we want to score this on Feisty Ladies?
They're feisty, but they're not. I mean,
it is also weird that then all of a sudden, like, Cybill Shepherd is like charmed. Like, oh, I'm back in Travis's cab.
I heard you were a hero. Okay.
Yeah. And then he's kind of like, get out.
Yeah.
He's like, never mind. I don't need your money. You're no money. Your money's no good in this cab.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he's still living in that horrible apartment.
Yeah.
Disgusting. He burned all his flowers.
Yeah.
Forget it.
So goth. I'm going to say 50.
50, right down the middle.
Yeah, I'll go 56.
56. I'll go 40. That's mostly for Jody, giving it an average of 48.67. All right, our next category. This might be interesting. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Taxi Driver and come away with a whole book of ideas? Well, you do have his final like mohawk, sunglasses, army jacket look. Like that, that could be adapted to a drag queen look. I bet.
Yeah,
imagine
but I
how
would...
high you can make that mohawk.
Yeah, but I would think it would be more like if I were to see a drag queen in a mohawk, I would think like Legend of Billie Jean, Nightmare on Elm Street 3 before I thought Taxi Driver.
But you accessorize the rest of it. You don't stop at the mohawk. You complete the look.
Drag queen's going to wear like an olive, a drab olive
green. A queen could do
green.
It, do that. You add sparkles to it. It's just an inspiration.
Stone it. Sure. Yeah,
I mean,
that's
a pretty iconic look.
It is, but it's hard to make it feminine.
It's not flashy.
Make it fashion,
Or fashion. I feel like Jodie Foster's look is the one you would do.
Her glasses were great.
And her hat and that little like pink top and her hot pants and those, the platform
shoes. Yeah.
That looks cute.
Somebody must have done a drag
cute
look inspired by like the New York City checker cab. That's got to be out there.
Oh, yeah,
I'm sure.
You know, that's something. Slick streets reflecting the neon signs. Black base.
Sure.
Sure. You're really working, Mark. I like slick streets.
Slick. Well, how about that
category
street drummer with that?
Category slick streets.
Oh, with that. Yeah, that just that pomade in his hair.
Oh, yeah.
That looked like it was like a plastic, like accessory.
It was like a Lego hair, put on his head.
We haven't mentioned any of Sybil's looks.
She had a lot of red and white.
A lot of scarves around tied,
like very Charles Nelson Reilly of her.
Yes.
So maybe Charles Nelson Reilly was kind of inspired by Sybil Shepherd.
That's true.
Maybe.
I thought she was a drag queen, but a queen. And I feel like a lot of wrap dresses, a lot of maybe Diane von Furstenberg.
Sure.
So Barry Diller's right there. Are we not saying he's gay? Maybe we're not.
I think he can. It's fine. He
rumors, listen. Rumors.
Yeah. So what do you want to give it for drag queen inspiration?
Oh, 30.
30.
Yeah, I'm going to go 21.
21. I'll go 35. Given an
all right,
average
Slick
of...
Streets.
Slick Streets. Maybe that's a good name for a drag queen. Slick Streets.
It is.
Uh-huh.
Give an average of 28.67. All right, the last of the canon categories. Jess, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Taxi Driver to a gay person? Don't say I'd recommend it to any person. We've heard it all.
You're talking to a gay person and it comes up, oh, I've never seen Taxi Driver. What do you say to Jeff Hiller?
you can skip it.
Really?
I mean, I would say I think it's one of the best movies ever made, but I don't, I think unless you are a person who is like Mark Rennie, who's like, I went to movie school. Like, I went to filmmaking school. I want to see great films. Then yes, you have to see Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
But if you're just a person on the street.
A gay person specifically.
Some gay person on the street, late for brunch.
Yeah. I don't think this is the one you need to take a real 2 hours for. Yeah.
I guess
not a real homosexual
the,
if you haven't
what
seen
would
Taxi
be
Driver.
The Scorsese like gay one. Maybe Casino because of the Sharon Stone of it all.
I think
maybe
Aviator
because he got tall. Because
the old Hollywood.
Wolf of Wall Street's funny.
I'm trying to think of any.
New York, New York. Liza Minnelli.
Yeah,
it's a musical.
New York, New York. It's a musical.
I've never seen that one. Can you
play
that?
Go see it.
Mark.
Go? Where Mark, is it? Where is it playing somewhere?
It's about to open on Broadway.
Yeah. Is it really?
No. Yeah. They've finally adapted it. Guess who's writing some additional music for it?
You.
You'll never guess. I wish. You think I'd be on this podcast if I was writing a Broadway score?
Yes.
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 No, it's everyone's favorite, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I am excited then.
He write their hooks. He can write a hook.
He can write a hook.
I love him. I'm all the way in. Yeah, maybe New York, New York.
I think New York, New York is probably the one.
Yeah.
Because it's got Liza Minnelli in it.
Yes. And Scorsese and Liza were together. Also, Liza is giving you her very best mama. This is a very Judy Garland, Liza Minnelli.
Oh.
It really is, right? It really is.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but yeah, it is. It's her most, it's them trying to do like an old, like MGM Hollywood style movie. You know what I mean?
But with grit. So it's like MGM style, but then like the grit. That's why it kind of, I like it.
You know what could be a good one for gay one though, too, is also The Age of Innocence.
Yes.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
I love The Age of Innocence. I forgot. I always forget that, Tim. I love it.
That's a good one.
Oh, Michael Jackson's Bad Video, maybe?
I mean, you got to see it if you're not familiar. You know.
That's the Scorsese you give to gay people. Go watch the Bad Video.
Well, what do you want to
do? The Young Wesley Snipes? Sure.
Taxi Driver and likely to recommend to a gay person.
Oh, I'm going
to
give it. I'm going to be nice and say 15.
15.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything particularly gay about this. I will go 9.
9. Everyone's got to see Taxi Driver. I'll give it a 45.
Wow.
Wow.
It's a great movie. Everyone should watch Taxi Driver.
I recommend it to everybody.
I would. But even gay people, you got to know Taxi Driver. Come on. Look at what we're dealing with. They were dealing with it in 76. We're still dealing with it now.
Sure.
Come on.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Something's got to change. Yeah. Tear down these toxic
gotta
men.
It's got to change.
All right. Now we're into the wheel categories.
Spinning wheel. Spinning true.
So these are categories that previous guests have brought in. We put them all on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. A lot of categories. So we're going to spin it once. Whatever category randomly pops up, we'll use that to judge the movie. Then Mark and I will pick a category off of the wheel to use to judge the movie. Then we have a listener wheel. So listeners have submitted categories. We'll do that. And then finally, you will come up with a category, which we will use to judge this movie, and we will add to the wheel. Make sense?
Yes, yes.
Okay, here we go. Spinning the wheel.
It's really like a wheel of wheels. Wheels within wheels.
Oh.
Self-loathing.
Not enough.
I mean, there's a ton of self-loathing in this movie.
Oh, this movie is all self-loathing.
I feel like it's all like projected self-loathing. Like he's like, these streets are so dirty. Clean it up. But like, it's you, dude. The call's coming from inside the house.
That's right.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're pushing people away. That's why you're lonely, you weirdo.
Someday a real rain will come and wash all this scum off the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's all self-loathing. He doesn't recognize it, but the audience
doesn't recognize. Yeah.
So I'm going to go 95.
95.
Yeah, that sounds great to me. I'll go 95 as well.
Yeah, sure. Why not? It's practically an emo song. Give it an average of 95. Now it's host choice. Did you have any thoughts, John?
There's actually a couple that I thought would work. The one that I thought the first came to mind was from the movie The Queen, and that's Night People.
Mm. Sure. Yeah.
How about you, Mark? Did you have any thoughts?
No, but I like Night People.
So I think this one is 100% for Night People.
It's mostly Night People, unless it's day.
Right, but Jodie Foster, he's like, let me take you out for breakfast. She's like, all right, I wake up at 1.
Yeah.
That's a night person if you're getting breakfast at 1 p.m.
Yeah, even the people, I agree. Even in the day, they're still night people.
Right.
They're never day people.
We're talking night people, night people. We're the people at nighttime. Were you ever night people when you lived in New York?
Yeah.
Yes, but not like that. I didn't think I could sleep.
John,
I
mean, said, yeah. Like, what do you mean, John? You were waking up at 1 p.m.?
No, not that, but like you're just hanging out all night. I mean, New York also is that thing, like we were in our 20s. Like you have all that energy. New York itself is just like,
I guess I'm saying, like, did you ever energy. Have like jobs like at, that were like in the middle of the night? Like, did you ever have a night shift?
John did, didn't you? You must
I worked. I mean, I worked at restaurants, so I would sometimes be leaving at like 1 or 2.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I don't think I had any regular jobs that were like show up at 2 a.m. or something
no,
like
it
that.
Seems awful.
Yeah, no, me either. I think the latest nights would be after like shows. Like going to McManus and staying out until
right, staying out super late.
Three.
I mean, I did know like some people who like worked in like bars or piano bars, and they would say like, oh yeah, what's tough is that like your schedule is so messed up because like you're working until like 4 a.m. and then it's not just like, oh, I'm ready to go to bed now. Like you've been working, you've probably been drinking and partying, you know what I mean? So it does sort of fuck up your life.
Yeah.
But I never had a job like that.
You never worked at a piano bar?
Never worked at a piano. I mean, I did shows at piano bars. It
I
was
mean,
like
this
a
is
job.
Your
yes.
next chapter, I think, John.
Really?
Breaking into
learn
the
how
piano
to play piano?
Bars.
Okay.
Yeah. You could like drink yourself
done
across
that
the top of a piano.
Of course. And I have.
Yeah.
And I will again.
There you go. This is your, it's like the rookie.
Return.
You know, like a sports movie.
Oh, I like
okay.
it.
Well, what do you want to give this for night people, Jess?
100? I mean, the movie lives at night.
Yeah, the opening shots alone. Those beautiful, remember the beautiful slick streets I mentioned? Now,
yes.
Now who's laughing?
Welcome to the stage.
Now who's laughing?
That's right.
You were laughing then.
You were laughing then.
That's right.
John, what about you for night people?
100.
Yeah, this is like a night person. If you were doing a marathon, planning a marathon of night people.
Night person marathon.
If you didn't have, well, maybe taxi drivers a little on the nose, if anything. You know what I mean? That's how night people it is.
Yeah.
Maybe you save it for like the 3rd or 4th year.
Yeah, like we've
of your movie of your Night People movie festival.
We're finally doing it.
Finally, we did it.
But ironically, the Night People festival starts at 10 a.m. Too many movies. All right, now we're into the listener category.
Okay, so this is another wheel, fewer categories, but equally important and beloved, submitted by listeners. Here we go. Don't know why the audio isn't working this time.
It's fine.
Yeah, I like
gateway drug is
gateway drug. This comes from Lauren, who gets overexcited on Twitter. If you want to follow her, it's at name number etc. etc. spelled etc. But be warned, it's often about cricket. So if you want to follow a cricket account, follow them.
Okay.
They said gateway drug. Gateway spelled G A Y T E W A Y. Is this a film that someone straight in quotes would really like? And when they realize later they're queer, it makes a lot more sense. 100 would be a film that makes you realize you're gay when you watch it. I think that's a great category.
I love that.
Does not help taxi drivers whatsoever.
No.
If this anything, you might find out you're a bad person. I don't know.
I'm going to give that a 1.
Well, if anything, it could make a case, though, for something like
Jodie Foster.
No, you realize, like, oh, straight guys are the problem. You know what I mean? It is like maybe a wake-up call of like, oh, we are living in a patriarchy.
That's why I like Taxi Driver, because it showed me that straight people are the problem.
I mean, it's not a reason not to like it. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think you could make a case for that. Like, oh, yeah, these guys are all like pieces of shit. And maybe it's like how you explore. Maybe not you get to gay, but maybe you start reading a book written by a woman. You know?
They do that?
Yeah. Maybe you listen to a Tori Amos album. You know? Maybe it just maybe very slowly, the little pebble that starts the avalanche.
The ripple,
you know
yes.
I mean? Yeah. That's
maybe
all I'm saying.
I think you could also be like, oh, I'm gay. I get why I really like that scene of Robert De Niro, you know, like him with his shirt off and all that stuff.
Yes.
So you could be a little bit there.
I can see that.
And I could also see a lot of like closeted gay people having crushes on Jodie Foster.
Mm-hmm.
Like before, like there was something about her you were attracted to. It was not her physically.
Her energy?
Yeah, her energy.
14-year-old preteen?
Exactly.
Is this what you're saying, John?
Maybe.
I don't know if that's something you should be saying, but okay.
I like what you said, John, about like you're like, I don't like this movie, but why do I watch it again and just like slow down on the scenes with De Niro with no shirt on and working out? I mean, he is working out. He is not wearing a shirt.
That's no white squall.
No. Sybil Shepherd too, I guess.
Oh, Sybil.
Also, yeah.
All right, then I'll raise it. I'll say 25 for the De Niro.
25
body. For the man candy. Yeah, to me it's pretty low. I'll go 18.
18. Yeah. Well, no, didn't really love my pebble that starts the avalanche argument. I guess. I'll give it a 9. Giving it a 17.
You didn't like your argument, it sounds like.
Yeah. I did. I gave it a 9. That was enough.
Oh, so you didn't like our arguments. Okay.
You said it. All right, Jess, the time has come for you to come up with a category. Do you have any thoughts on something we could use to judge how gay Taxi Driver is in all subsequent movies? Oh, let me say right away, though, if you would like to submit a category, you can find a link to the Google form in our show notes. So get submitting.
Get submitting.
Get submitting.
Get some mittens. It's cold.
Oh, out. I know. I feel, and I think it.
Some shoulder work happening.
Because I'm like, I don't know. I feel like it's just sexy in general for everyone.
Okay.
So I'm already reaching. Already.
You're saying Taxi Driver is a sexy movie?
I know. I'm going to go with the score.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, the score.
I think I'm alone on this because
no, I love the score.
I think the score is great.
I love the score. I love that. And also, Scorsese doesn't usually ever use a score. It's always music. And, and also, what movies nowadays use scores? So I love that.
Lots of them.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. I'm sorry.
But wow. To use the cliche, it is like a character in the movie. Like it really does call attention to itself, but not in a way that you don't like.
Yeah.
There's these really smooth, like jazz, like numbers that sound like, oh, this is what I picture New York late at night. But then it'll just like go jarring into this discordant tone.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes it gets kind of sexy when you think it shouldn't.
Yeah.
But also like, so I feel like we could have like could we play the score on the dance floor? Could this be some music we remix? Like how
well,
was
we
it
have
the White
a
Lotus?
Category already
about like, songs you would dance to in a club.
But I like what you're saying about the score. You're setting a different mood though earlier with the shoulder work. It felt more intimate than a dance club. It
so
felt
maybe
like more
songs you would put on to get
slow dance?
Or maybe
music you would slow dance to?
Oh, it's gonna be like maybe have a sexy night.
Sexy soundtrack.
Yeah, like to set the mood for a night of love making.
A booty call
a booty
soundtrack.
Call. Yeah.
We do have Could You Fuck to It as a category.
That means the movie itself, not just the score.
Yeah, this is just the score. Just the score.
You do not want to fuck to Travis Bickle's mumbling.
No, you don't want to. The movie would ruin everything. The score itself.
I think
and
so.
I speak from experience.
experience.
Yeah.
Did you have a lot of sex in Taxi?
I feel like this is like straight guy aphrodisiac. The score to Taxi Driver is like, what more do they better than oysters?
But you know,
did you also have a poster of Fight Club? Or something?
No, but you know, it was wasted because I went to Boston Conservatory, so all the men came in my room were like, "Oh, by the way, Jessica, I'm gay, and can I borrow things from you?" That's my whole freshman year was 3 a.m. knocks on the door.
What were they borrowing?
Clothes, dresses, earrings,
tampons.
Or they want to do the score. They were going to be.
We sing Les Mis again. Yeah.
No, it's a lot of Evita. It was a lot of Evita and watching them do the entire show as Patti LuPone.
Wow, how could that ever get old?
No one tried an Elaine Page, a Julie Covington.
No, people hated them.
Fools.
They really
people
did.
Hated them.
Bulls.
Hated them. There was a lot of like boo boo. That's trash, trash, trash. It was very pro. When I went to school, it was very pro Patty on everything. It was just Patty across the board, except for her dancing. Everyone did make fun of. She would just step touch, where everyone danced
goes,
around.
Yeah,
her.
Of course.
That's what I would do if I was Patty LuPone. What do I got?
Sure.
You're not here to see me dance.
No.
You don't have to dance.
No.
You know, I'm Gwen Verdon. I'm Patty LuPone.
I'm Patty LuPone. But I would say like that. Yeah. Is it something you could throw on?
Does like the score stand on its own? Maybe.
Does the score set the mood?
Yes.
For like, love?
Does the score set the mood? It's implied.
Set a mood.
Set the mood. You know what the mood is.
Come on, John. You know what the mood is.
Come on, John.
The mood.
I've ridden in taxi cabs.
Does the score set the mood?
Set the mood. I say yes. I mean, obviously, I say yes. I'm going to give it a 95.
95. Well, you're living your truth.
I
think just the sort of like discordant passages of it would be a little sort of rough.
jarring, but jarring maybe you like bit. That, you know, like let's
maybe
not
you do.
Let's change the tempo now and then, you know.
I guess so.
It can't all be like Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm not fucking to Lana Del Rey. The big soundtrack when I was in college was Last Temptation of Christ.
Love what? Peter Gabriel.
That was a great soundtrack.
That movie's incredible
too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Scorsese too.
Yeah.
He's great. Look at that.
Turns out this guy makes a lot of good movies.
Yeah, it turns out he's a hack.
Turns out he's a treasure.
Yeah, national treasure.
Oh, we haven't even said what he's done for world cinema at large either.
That's true. That's
big
true.
Proponent, a hero.
I'll give it an 82.
82. Oh. Very generous, John. I'll give it a 75. It's
for
great.
The
though.
Mood.
For the
yeah,
mood.
For the mood.
This would not be my first choice. I'd put on maybe some Portishead first or something.
Portishead.
Some trip hop. Massive Attack.
No. I don't want to be. No.
What?
Uh-oh. You two are fucking later.
No. Yeah. Well, we could get the cocaine and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Jess, I'm on coke. We have to fuck now. Knocking on your door.
No, that's not going to happen.
In the morning.
The last thing that'll happen if you're on too much coke.
Oh, no.
Well, we'll want to. We'll want to, and that'll be really bad.
The heart is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Mm. The heart is about to give out. That's always my fear.
I don't need this. I've always am paranoid. When I do feel paranoid, I'm paranoid that, I talk too much or I'm being too much. Is always when I have an anxiety, it's usually something like that. So
yeah,
I don't want to do cocaine where I actually am talking
too much
and being too much. Because I think the next
think
day,
that.
But the next day when I'm clear headed,
you won't be.
You're encouraging
it.
Me?
Yes.
I won't remember.
She's Jess is low key selling cocaine. She's got kids who are about to go to college.
Etsy store? It came with
Etsy
a
store.
Beautiful packaging. So charming.
Yeah.
Little sachet of coke.
It's a little. It's a take on Encanto.
Oh, okay.
It's in Cocteau.
In Cocteau.
The tempos are really fast.
Yes, right.
We don't talk about where this comes from.
That's right.
Hey, got an average of 84, and does the score set the mood? Very fun new category. All right, now we're into the bonus categories. Extra,
extra. Ooh, I like a bonus.
These categories, as their name implies, are bonus. So if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it doesn't work against the overall score. Oh. It's just percentage bonus points. So it's 0 to 10, and it's going to be that percentage bonus points it gets.
Okay.
All right. The first one, Jess, on a scale of 0 to 10, what would you give Taxi Driver in musical potential? Could you see a musical being made out of Taxi Driver? I did realize, though, it's basically the same as Phantom of the Opera.
What?
Like an antisocial weirdo tries
not.
To convince
no,
a woman
isn't.
To
no,
love him.
No.
He doesn't teach her how to do anything.
Yeah. He doesn't teach
but
her anything.
If you take away that, it's just an antisocial
if you take
weirdo.
Away a million things, it's exactly
yes,
the same.
Exactly.
I always say that. Antisocial weirdo tries to convince a woman to love him.
Uh-huh. Where's the chandelier?
Yes.
He's not
that's
writing
the,
anything.
That's killing
manifesto.
People. That's killing people.
No.
No, he's
no?
No.
No.
That's not killing people? Shooting people
no.
or dropping a chandelier is not killing people?
He poisons people in Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
What's the point of the chandelier then?
To scare people.
Yeah.
This guy's a fucking
loser. He's angry.
I say
it ends the first act.
Phantom of the Opera. That's
it's probably not going anywhere.
No. I feel like Taxi Driver the Musical is something that someone makes in college for their black box theater. And
yeah.
Everyone's like, it was brilliant. And
yeah,
then
yeah,
everyone
yeah.
else is like, I don't know.
What is this? I mean, I think if you were to do it, there's a score. I was trying to think who you would want to write the score. And all I could think of was Tom Waits.
That's a good call.
Or maybe, what's his name? Walk on the Wild Side.
Lou Reed?
Lou Reed.
He's dead. Good luck.
I'm sure he's got some songs in a trunk somewhere that haven't been used in an
album.
Can we
use these for the Taxi Driver musical? It's what
Please,
Lou
Lord
would
Anderson,
have wanted.
Yes.
That's what Lou would have wanted. I'm going to go with two.
A two.
I'll give it I think there's you've got New York as the backdrop. You've got musicals love sex workers. They really do.
You're night walkers.
Is there a musical where the lead is this guy's a loser, weirdo, psycho. Not this guy's
American Psycho?
Is there a
good musical? There is. I saw it.
There's a musical. Mark saw it. He loved it.
I loved it. It's not good, but I did love it. Just I was like, wow, look at these actors are amazing. I was just the talent on display was so impressive as the third Broadway musical I've ever seen in my life. You know what I mean? I was like, this is impressive. But I assume you get jaded after a while.
I think I was thinking if I were to do this, I would maybe have Travis Bickle not sing. And so it's other characters are singing about him or doing stuff like that, because there's something about having him sing that would just feel so jarring and so weird.
But he has so many, like, that letter home could be a whole thing. Like, the real life he's thinking he's presenting could be a thing.
It could be. The Cape Man, maybe, sort of is like that. Paul Simon.
Mm. Well.
It's hard to make Travis Bickle sing.
Right. And we haven't even talked about choreographers yet.
How much time do you
have? Tommy Tune, or we don't do it.
It's always Tommy Tune with you, John. Always Tommy Tune.
That man's got a golden touch.
Is he still working?
He's still alive, but he's not working now. I will give it a 5.
A 5. Mm. I'll give it a 3. I mean, I would like to see someone try.
Sure.
Sure.
If it was like $10, I'd pay $25. How much money would you pay to see Taxi? If it was $20.
Who's in the cast?
Yeah, who's in the cast?
If you're paying $20, nobody, you know.
Okay.
No. Just $20. To say you saw a Taxi Driver the Musical, I want to see what they do.
Sure.
I'll pay.
I don't know who you cast in that lead. That's a hard lead in the musical.
That's also why I think you don't have him sing, because then that opens up a lot of other possibilities for casting.
Lea Michele. Cast go against type. Mm-hmm. She goes to Funny Girl to Taxi Driver.
What can't she do?
What can't she do besides read?
Oh,
that's what they say.
Oh, mm-hmm. I don't care.
I don't care if she can't read. Ignorance is bliss. She's doing fine. She's succeeding. Stanley and Iris, full circle. All right, now we're back to a new category. Yas Queen. Were there any moments in this where you said Yas Queen? The only one is like maybe when Betsy storms out of the porno theater, but that's not like a Yas. Yeah. It's not like she's just like, oh, I got to get out here and take a shower.
Yeah.
It's not like a Yas Queen moment. There's not a lot of them. There's not, I don't know if there's like, that's the kind of the whole movie. There's not like a lot of triumphs happening.
Oh my goodness, I can't think of anywhere I'd be like, Yas Queen.
Maybe when the guy brings out the piece of the Errol Flynn bathtub.
No. Oh,
Yas Queen. I would support him. That's the only moment I can think of right now.
Maybe when his wife is sassing him when he's buying candy at the porno theater.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Yes. Not a big... Where Scorsese isn't at his best when it comes to like female characters.
No.
I mean, other than what Alice doesn't live here anymore. Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of... And Goodfellas. I think Karen, Lorraine Bracco's.
Sure,
part,
sure.
When she goes to the thing and she's like, tell everyone in here, a whore, you're like, yeah, it's Queen. Yeah. You're like, right?
Sure.
Or when she has the gun on them, she's like, wake up. You're like, yeah, it's Queen.
Yeah, it's quack.
But I don't know if there is one for me. I mean, if we're going to go with the Errol Flynn, like the fourth.
Slim Pickens.
Yeah.
It's, Slim Pickens.
Again, it doesn't do bad. It doesn't work against the movie.
Also, we went over the bottom rung of the movie. Yeah. So I don't know. We're hemming and hawing over.
I'm going to say 1.
A 1.
I'm going to have to go 0.
0. I'll go 1 for the Errol Flynn bathtub.
Okay.
Because if you're in a theater and someone said, yeah, it's Queen over that, you would laugh.
You would.
Because it was inappropriate, but yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right. Our next hair, Messy Diva. How are we doing on Messy Divas?
Travis is the Messy Diva?
Not really. I don't know what you call him a diva. No. He's definitely messy.
No.
Harvey Keitel is the Messy Diva.
But he does have a very clean tank top.
He does. And he has one painted Coke nail.
Yeah, that one cute little pink Coke nail.
Yeah.
Or red,
But not a lot of, like, the biggest, like, messy diva is probably, like, Iris.
Yeah.
But she's not even that much of a diva. She's pretty much a victim the whole time.
Yeah.
She's essentially a victim with no...
no agency. She's on drugs the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, Sybil Shepherd, she's not messy. She's all put together.
No. The only one I think you could say is, like, Scorsese himself.
Oh, yes. When he goes...
He's the biggest diva.
He's the biggest.
That's true.
Out of the whole production, this is his thing.
Yes. Okay.
But that's it.
That's another.
And it does.
One.
It is. He does make a mess. The city itself is messy. A 1. Fair enough.
The city is messy. Oh, slick streets.
Slick streets.
I'll give it a 1 as well.
1. I also will give it a 1. Give an average of 1, which is 6.33 points lower than Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. But that had Khan. All right. Our next one. You might make up some points here. Macabre. How macabre is Taxi Driver?
10.
10.
Would you put this on your Halloween movie marathon?
No,
because you've already booked it for the Night People movie marathon. Exactly. So we don't want to overplay it.
Like Like you want to, I feel like for you
stabbing?
Want like a stabbing.
You like stabbing.
You like a spider, a ring. Yeah.
Yeah. You or the ring. You want something that's like this, you know, he's going to be horrible. Like it, there's no hiding him. Like there's not like a, a tension. I mean, the tension's wrong. I mean, there's no like scares. It's like you see
it's too real. It's too grounded in reality.
And you see the, like the, what's it called? The
escalation?
The rise journey? And
fall. Waves.
The journey. The
roller coaster.
The roller coaster. That's what I'm saying.
You see the like roller coaster.
You see the going up, tick, 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 tick. You're not surprised that it.
No.
Correct.
I guess you would be in the time like, oh my God, this ended in an orgy of violence. I was not, you know, so especially when it's been waiting the whole movie, essentially.
Yeah, right. You're right.
Okay. Really, it's still disturbing to this day.
Still macabre.
Super macabre.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ten.
I'll give it a 9. If there was more of a witch's cauldron, I'd give it a 10, but I'll give
there's some eye of Newt.
Yeah.
Some bat wings. Sure.
Hey, got a 9.67. That's not bad. All right, last category, last bonus category. Gay actors playing gay roles. Well, there's not really any gay roles.
Zero, yeah. I mean, do we think Iris is gay?
Sorry. I think she's too. I don't. I think it's impossible to.
Yeah, I think it's impossible to know. I mean, they don't give us any glimmer that could be that. There.
Right. There's no hint of that. Just the fact that it's Jodie Foster, but that's also 2020 hindsight.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you think so? Do you think it was like a whiff in the air?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like she's an out gay actor. Like I'll give it a 1 for Jodie Foster.
I see.
Oh, okay. Like it was a whiff we didn't even know it was there, but it was just already
We know what's gonna happen to her. I think, you know, I bet she's like in a relationship with a woman at some point in her life, Iris.
Sure. Why not? Right. She's been horrible.
Right.
Okay. I'll go. You've talked me into it. I'll go 1.
1. Yeah, sure. Why not? 1. Give it an average of 1.
Nice.
And now we're into the iconic category.
Ooh, I like it.
These categories are very big, broad, wide umbrella categories. So it's 0 to 300.
Wow.
Yeah. All lot of points.
Okay.
A lot of points. You can make up a lot of points here. Do a lot of damage.
You're not gonna, but you could.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first one is homoeroticism. How homoerotic is Taxi Driver? The only scene I thought was maybe is like the scene with Travis and the Secret Service.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. There's some sort of weird tension there where he's like, give me your name.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that Secret Service man handled that really well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would handle that well. Just give me your name and address. We'll mail you information. I would just blow my cover like, get out of here, you weirdo.
Well, there's training that you would have to go through, Mark.
No, I hope I don't have to be a Secret Service person tomorrow.
We all do.
You're going to have to pay for your new cocaine habit.
Oh, that's true.
Those feel like they counteract, but all right.
Well, that's how you stay safe. From the inside.
Yeah.
Clean.
Clean, baby. 12.
But what about all those scenes of him working out with his shirt off? Isn't that like homoerotic?
He's not with someone else.
So, but just the male form in action and could be homoerotic.
Sure. Okay, then.
20.
A 20.
I'll give it a 35.
I'll get a 12. Giving it a 22.33, which is 133.34 points lower than Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Oh, man.
Okay.
All right. Our next one, Queer 101. How much of Taxi Driver would you say is an essential queer text? I mean, the only thing is, like, if you are Jodie Foster completist, like, well, she got an Academy Award.
I mean, like,
she
was Academy Award nominated.
But even that is like, do you need to see the movie if it's a queer one? Like, oh, I think it's like, you could just know that, you know? It's kind of the more important thing in Queer 101 standards.
Yeah.
But I think this is an important movie in the Jodie Foster, like, canon.
Sure.
I agree.
So I think in that way, it gets some points, definitely.
I agree. It's her first big jump into doing drama. It's like her first big, right, where she changed from being like this child star.
This is much Disney movies than Freaky Friday.
And this is why she took it. They wanted to push her into. I mean,
she was the Disney. She was like, I want to get rid of my Disney.
She sure did.
This is her Miley Cyrus riding a wrecking ball.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think as a piece of queer cinema, it's 101, but for Jodie Foster, I think it's 101, and she's a queer icon. So I would say it gets some points in that way.
90?
90.
I think Jodie Foster is a big queer icon in movies. So I will actually go 75.
75. I'll give it a 20. So you're okay if you're, you don't need to show Taxi Driver in your queer studies class. Actually, you absolutely shouldn't. I'm going to give it a 15 or 10, actually. Giving it a 10.
You really talked yourself off that ledge.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 58.33, which is 20 points lower than Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. All right, the last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is Taxi Driver?
One.
The one thing that for me, I thought like him lighting his flowers on fire, I thought was pretty campy. And also when he's like polishing his boots and he lights the wax, the polish on fire. I'd never seen that before. And I thought
no,
I was
I've
like,
seen that. Yeah, got it.
Oh, yeah.
That.
My dad.
I've never
that.
Seen that.
I have. Yeah.
Not a big shoe polish house, John.
I guess no. But that was kind of it.
I wish every time I go through like an old train station and like they have those shoe polish like stands.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah, you
I wish
shoes
I wore that. Shoes that needed. That seems like who doesn't like a pampering?
Nice little treat.
Yeah. I agree.
You got like 15 minutes before your train leaves.
For your train.
Yeah, I wish they should do that with Converse because you know the white cap of the Converse always gets stuff.
Oh
like,
yeah,
sure.
Spring my on. Parents used to always like at night do that to their shoes or like my mom used to ride horses to her riding boots.
Oh, really? Well, there you go.
And then she comes tangent. Home from off the horse and her weird daughter's storyboarding Raging Bull.
That's right.
What the fuck is going on here?
I did not sign horses. Up for this.
Come here smelling like, hey, this is what I catch you doing.
Oh, God, I got to vote. Didn't I vote?
What you got to vote.
You haven't
said
yet.
One originally.
Was it campy?
Camp factor.
I mean, one. And that's
a
being
one.
Generous.
I'll give it a four.
Four. I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. Salty dispatchers hoping for real rain to wash the scum off the street, selling popcorn at the adult movie theater, campaign buttons with misprints. A supposedly sensible woman that's intrigued by an obvious creep, not knowing who Kris Kristofferson is. Travis Bickle being obsessed with cleanliness while his own apartment is a pigsty. Having a fruit salad for lunch, a restaurant called Aunt Fish, pouring peach-flavored schnapps on your bread, a black market gun dealer trying to upsell you crystal meth, lying to your parents in a letter home, a soap opera driving you to kick over your TV, smoking children, a child prostitute with a strong grasp of astrology, and finally, sickos that become media darlings. I'll give it a 35.
Whoa.
Actually, I just remembered one of the candies he buys in the very beginning was a candy. It was like a weird sort of like gummy candy called Chuckles, and their tagline was, even the name spells fun. So I'm going to up mine to 26.
26. Wow.
For Chuckles.
22 points for Chuckles.
Yep. I will up mine to 10 because I just remember he said about the parents lying that Cardi has with the two campers. This is happy.
Oh, right. And that mom has really big tits in that.
Yeah. Awkward.
That was the 70s Hallmark.
Yeah.
You know, it was Isles of Smut, if you ask me.
Yeah. Hallmark, right. Isles of Smut.
Hi,
so
babe.
I up it to whatever I said, 15.
15? It was at 15. All right. So got an average of 24, which is still pretty bad. All right. But speaking of Hallmark Gold Crown stores, we're now into the crown jewels.
All right. Okay. So these final categories, we don't rate. We just say yes or no.
Okay.
All right. The first one, a 50% bonus of all the points for a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
No.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it does have Jodie Foster, but she's a child in this. So,
but she's also not portraying
it's not positive. Yeah.
No. A queer person or positive. Yeah.
No. So it doesn't get it.
No.
And then finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Stonewall.
They probably drive by Stonewall at some point, but this is not the movie Stonewall.
No.
So it will not lose 50% of its points.
That's right. That's right.
All right. That's it. We're done.
Okay. So, Jess, now that we have been through it all, do you think it's somewhere in the top, somewhere in the bottom, or somewhere in the middle, like Marcus?
No, I think
I never said
the
middle.
Bottom.
I never said the middle.
You said somewhere between the two.
I said somewhere
which is the middle.
Two.
Yeah.
I think it has to be near the bottom.
Near the bottom.
I think it's probably in the bottom five is my guess.
I think,
really?
I think it might unseat someone tonight.
All right. Well, I'll tell you. Prepare to be unseated yourself. Out of a total possible 2,107.89 points, Taxi Driver has scored 796.56, giving a percentage of 37.79, making it the 158th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Hoosiers, but gayer than Pulp Fiction.
What?
Huh.
That's wrong.
Well, those movies are also from the beginning. We've changed the scoring system a little bit.
But also,
Pulp Fiction has so much more camp in that movie. Are you crazy?
Look, relax. Taxi Driver still got a 37.79. That is not changed, no matter where Pulp Fiction is.
But what? Yeah, where does it put it, Mark? Where is it?
Pulp Fiction got a 37.05.
So now, what is the number? What number ranking is it?
158th.
Out of 180 something, almost 190.
Oh, it's high.
Out of 100, out of 184.
Damn, yeah. It's
so it's
high.
In like the bottom 24, 25%.
So it got a 37.79.
Kind of. Yeah.
What is?
But we got Jodie Foster.
Yeah, Jodie Foster. Remember?
No, I do remember.
Remember, said it scored and set the mood. You're the one who gave it hundreds.
I can't believe I got above Pulp Fiction.
Look,
I think you're right. But that Pulp Fiction was one of our earlier movies, and we've adjusted the scoring system. So there are a lot of movies from earlier on that would have scored differently if we use the exact same system. Yeah.
Remember Macabre. Remember Night People. Remember Self-Loathing. Remember Mike Pence Anxiety Scale. Remember Gay Icons.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes.
The math doesn't lie.
No, it doesn't. You're right. I mean, Jodie Foster alone is floating Taxi Driver up.
In so many ways.
Indeed. Blessings.
God bless her.
God bless that woman.
Yes.
Well, that was our first Scorsese.
And God bless you.
We've done, though. Yeah. So thank you for bringing
That's
it
your
in.
First Scorsese. I got to come back. We'll do more.
We'll do New York, New York, I guess.
Oh, yes. That'd be great.
We should also do After Hours.
There's a Night People movie.
With a lot of women. A lot of cocaine.
Mm-hmm. That movie feels like cocaine.
Okay, that's our night. We're all watching it together, doing lines of cocaine, watching Great. After Hours.
Love it.
We'll wake up and do Morning Pages. It'll be perfect.
God. This sounds awful. My version of hell. Mm-hmm. But you're my version of heaven, Jess.
Yes.
Thank you so much for doing it. Is there anything you like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Oh, no. This was so much fun. I mean, I love both of you. It's the best. I shouldn't apologize for my voice, but I'm doing it anyway. I guess I'll plug. What should I plug? I should plug Night Court. You should watch
Night Court
at 8 p.m. tonight.
It's on right now?
No, it's over now. But they'll show it on the old Peacock.
Sure. Yeah. So everyone check out Night Court on Peacock.
Check out Night Court on Peacock.
Yeah, check it out.
All right. Well, thank you, Jess. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @twoOldQueens, @TWOldQueens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yeah, you can email us at @TWOOldQueens, @TWOOldQueens@gmail.com. Let us know what you think, if we got anything wrong. If you have any pieces of Errol Flynn's bathtub, we'd love to hear from you.
We also got a Patreon. Go to patreon.com/twoOldQueens for an extra, a measly $5 a month. You get an extra bonus episode while you're waiting for new episodes on the main feed. We've done tons of fun things on there.
Tons of fun things. And speaking of fun things, we have merch. If you go to Tee Public, search for TwoOldQueens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself and your loved ones. And a percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out.
And that's it. We'll see you next. We got three more weeks, I believe.
Best Supporting Actress film. So
Best Supporting Actress nominees, our favorite genre.
Yes.
So stay tuned, everyone. We'll see you next time. Stay safe.
Goodbye. Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.